Hello, so I'm here with Tim Davis over lunch at Making a Difference with Data. And you were talking about open data in education and the kind of obstacles, but also the uses that have come out of that. Do you just want to kind of...
Yeah, so I think we looked at four areas. We looked at the what, the where, the how good, and the sort of where next of data. So in terms of the where, school data, where is provision, where's education, there's a big data set called EduBase, which was made available at various points as open data, but hasn't consistently been open. So
you were saying that
lots of potential, but it's going stale. There's some big data going stale, and that's a big challenge for making sure the potential it's shown, which is people building fascinating new interfaces on school data, district councils being able to show their citizens where the schools are, even though it's not their direct responsibility. Lots of interesting small impacts, but being frustrated by that lack of data. And we also looked at informal education data and where that was and where that was maybe disappearing as national data sets and national programmes have been axed by recent government policy.
So we've got good starts there, but both have been kind of hindered somewhere along the lines. They both kind of hit a snag or an obstacle, really, which has kind of stopped them in their tracks. How do you think they overcome this? So with EduBase, I mean, how do they make that sustainable and make sure that data's current and fresh?
So I think that challenge we'll be exploring the workshops this afternoon, so hopefully I'll have a better sense of that in a bit. But I guess EduBase, it's a contract given to a private company to deliver that service. Government needs to be building open data into procurement, and actually we need probably quite a good top-down mandate around that, about whenever services involving data are procured, that data should be open. I haven't seen that clearly on the agenda yet, that we've got rights to data. And I think we also need just more attention paid to these many data sets around, like, apprenticeships data, jobs data, available through websites, but websites that don't give you access to the underlying thing. We maybe need to be listing those and showing where are they on the five stars of data that Nick Reed was introducing earlier.
So rate this data.
Yeah.
I like it.
If it's not registered, it will be soon, I'm sure.
And plings.com, what's happening there seems a real pity. They're suffering from the cuts, and what is a really good source of open data and really useful to people is kind of under threat there.
That's it. So Plings.net were started off collecting data from individual local authorities, getting them to standardise, but that was a battle that had to be won 154 times. They saw that they could use the Family Information Directory to get a lot of activity information, not always the best quality, but a lot of it. The Family Information Directory system's being switched off. The central government are pulling the plug on what could be run as a very effective open data service if it was contracted in a more open way. So, real shame and really quite worrying, I think, policy decisions of the discussions earlier, is open data political? Well, campaigning for openness is hard to argue against, but when the choice of what data is made available, the choice of which data sets are here or not, is a very political choice, because it affects what can we do to scrutinise, hold to account, and so on.
Thank you very much. Look forward to your workshop this afternoon. Cheers.
Thank you.